Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to the streets because we've actually got good news. Oh, Trish!
Hi!
Hello!
I'm here with Jimmy. He's a young gentleman who grew up in the Mayan religion, raised to worship the sun, the moon, the stars,
wow,
basically, that, you know, nature.
Yeah.
He was born in Guatemala and has lived here, though, most of his life. And listen to this, Ray. A year ago, his boss shared his faith with him, and that's when Jimmy, who I'm here with right now, discovered Islam, that Islam is the truth. He is a Muslim now. He claims to be a Muslim. And the reason why he says now that he's given over to that religion is because that they claim to have one God.
Monotheism. Hey, the religion that he was formerly into, Trish, was called
Like the Mayan. He was raised like with the Mayans.
Yeah,
I don't know, like Incas, Mayans. I'm not sure exactly what it would be called. But he was raised to worship like the sun and the moon and creation, basically.
Sure.
It's been a really interesting day. Yeah,
it certainly has.
I couldn't believe it. I thought that he was going to say that, you know, he gave his life to the Lord when his boss shared his faith, but, you know, other religions share their faith as well. How much more should we, you know?
Yeah, especially when we've got the real deal. All right, let's talk to Jimmy. Hey, Ray, can I ask him a couple of questions about that Mayan business,
too? I would be delighted. I'm Muslimized.
Oh, I was going to ask him about the Mayan business.
Go for it. It's pantheistic, isn't it?
Well, we'll find out. I would suspect so, but, you know, worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. And how
here's Jimmy.
Thank you. Go for it, Tom.
And how they get their sins forgiven.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Jimmy. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time, sir.
Yes. Go ahead.
I am already fascinated by you. I have to understand the Mayan religion. What did you believe?
Mayan religion. Okay. My mother, 100% Mayan, taught me to believe in thanking the sun, the moon, Mother Nature itself.
Why? Yeah.
Because pretty much that's what the Mayan people believe gave life to everything, Mother Nature itself.
And who is Mother Nature?
Mother Nature, the wind, the sun.
Okay, the elements, the things. Okay. So are they, if you will, God?
They're not God. No.
What power do they have besides the power to heat the earth or make the trees rustle when the wind blows? What power do they have?
Well, pretty much the Mayans were able to communicate with the Mother Nature.
How?
They developed their own calendar, their own numbers, their own ways of making it work for them, and they just thanked it.
Yeah, and did the elements ever communicate to them?
Well, from what my mother told me, there is like an old man that can at the end go on ahead and talk to nature. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, if you get very holy, perhaps.
Very poorly.
No, if you become holy, can you then communicate with nature, and will nature communicate with you?
That part my mom never explained to me.
Okay, all right. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Jimmy, do you believe that human beings are intrinsically good or intrinsically bad?
Human beings these days are bad.
So in the Mayan religion, which I understand you're not a part of now, how did they have their sins forgiven?
That's one question I wouldn't be able to answer.
So did you believe these things when you were growing up? Is that correct?
As I was growing up, I did believe it.
Yeah. Okay, so did you ever have a sense that you had done things wrong when you were growing up?
Somewhat.
Yeah. And if I was a Mayan, let's say I'm an adult Mayan, and I believed what you're describing, and I was feeling guilty, was there any sort of sacrificial system or anything that I could do so that the gods wouldn't be angry at me?
Whoa. Maybe there is, maybe there ain't. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
All right. Now, how old are you, Jimmy?
I am 23 years old.
23 years old. Do you think that you're intrinsically good or intrinsically bad?
I am intrinsically bad.
Especially bad. All right. So here, let me. I'm a Christian, Jemmy.
Okay.
And this is what, let me share with you. This is what I think the Bible says is going to happen to you and me. Someday we're going to die, and we're going to stand before God who created the sun and the moon and the wind and the stars and the leaves and everything we see. And he is going to judge us for every thought, every word, every deed, every action. Jemmy, you just said you're a very bad person. What is a holy God bound to do with you?
He is to punish me.
Okay, so it sounds, Jemmy, if you die, you're going to get punished. Is that correct?
Yes.
Where do you think you're going to get punished?
I am going to get punished in my afterlife.
Yeah.
When I die, I'm not going to make it to heaven. I'm going to hell.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't mind going ahead and talking with you
Jemmy,
anytime.
Jemmy, let me try a couple more questions with you, okay?
Go ahead.
Jemmy, you said that you're bad, and I want to understand what your understanding of that is, okay?
Okay.
Because sometimes we think that we do bad because bad things happen back to us. I steal something from the store, I get caught, they take me to juvenile detention, and I feel bad, all right? There's another type of bad feeling that happens, and the bad feeling that happens is, wow, I have done bad, and I've sinned against the Creator. Do you hear the difference?
Yes.
What kind of bad do you think you have? Why do you feel that you're evil and bad?
I feel that I'm evil and bad because my job, my obligation in this world is to thank God for everything I have and pretty much praise for who he is. First, acknowledge who he is, what he does, and then thank him for who he is and what he does.
Yeah.
I have not been doing that the past couple of years.
Yeah, see, I agree with you, and I think even grander than that, we are supposed to be God's image bearer. The Bible says he made us in his image and likeness so that we can let the creation know what our God is like. So have you ever told a lie, Jemmy?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you've told a lie, you know what you've said to creation? You've said God is a liar. That's what you've done. Do you understand that?
Well, I do now.
Yeah. So have you ever, Jesus said, you know who the prophet Jesus is, correct?
Yes.
Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that, Jemmy?
Yes, I have.
You know what you've told the creation about your God?
No, I don't.
I think you understand, though, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Have you ever been angry at somebody unjustly? You just got really torqued or maybe flipped them off, said something nasty?
Plenty of times.
Yeah. You've told the creation that God is a murderer. All right. Now, Jemmy, you die. You stand before God. How angry do you think he's going to be with you?
The utmost angry he can be. He's going to be totally angry at
me. Yeah.
He can forgive and all that, but...
He can forgive. How can he forgive? How can he forgive?
He can forgive by pretty much... There's the life hell, you know what I mean, for people that are not really that bad. They will get punished, but at the end of the day, they will make it to heaven.
Yeah.
Now, if you're really, really bad, then you're going to stay in hell. And hell needs where people are charcoal for hell.
Okay, let me share something that I think you might find very interesting today, all right? The Bible makes it clear all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. All right. This isn't a scale system where God kind of balances it out. Oh, you told 17 lies, but you babysit a kid for free for the single mom next door. Forget the 17. It doesn't work that way. It's a penal system. You break the laws, you get punished by God because he's just and he must uphold justice by punishing lawbreakers. Right?
Yes.
That's pretty frightening thought, isn't it, Jemmy?
It's pretty clear, yes.
All right. Now, you've heard about the prophet Jesus, right?
Yes.
Let me tell you what the Bible says he did so that you don't have to go to hell. He took the punishment you deserve. Jesus Christ is God himself, the only payment that would satisfy God's wrath against Jemmy. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect life that you and I can't live. He got brutally beaten, had his beard pulled out of his face, was punched, was whipped, was hung on a cross, shed his blood as the payment for your sins to satisfy God's wrath against you. And Jimmy, if you'll respond by telling God you're sorry that you have not been a good image bearer, that you've sinned against him, that you violated his laws, and that you're sorry and you won't do it again, and you'll put your trust in the Savior, then the good work that Jesus Christ did will be credited to you. And when you die, you can go to heaven because you're a very bad man who's been forgiven by a very good and kind God. That is called the good news of the gospel. And God stands ready to forgive you today. And I would simply invite you, Jimmy, to turn your back on Islam, to turn your back on the Mayan religion, and put your trust in the Savior of the soul, the God who died to save you. And his name is Jesus Christ. Do you understand that?
I understand what you're saying, yes.
All right. He offers you forgiveness and everlasting life. And I would simply beg you to listen to your conscience today and to consider the good news that your God died to save you. You must repent, apologize, put your trust in the Savior, and he will forgive you so that he can be praised for being such a good God. Does that make sense to you?
That makes a lot of sense.
Got a lot to think about now, don't you?
Yeah, sure does. Sure does.
Goodbye, Jimmy. Thank you for talking to me.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You have a very good day.
God
bless.
Bye.
This is Wretched Radio. My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Masters Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Masters Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for joining us today. Always happy when you spend part of your day listening to us at Wretched Radio. Always grateful, too, when you share your wretched stories with us, idea@wretched.org. Got this nifty one from Ellen that reads, I just wanted to let you know that 11 and a half years ago, as a false convert, God led me to your radio program, then called Way of the Master Radio. Wowzers, been with us a long time. I began listening as you and Ray Comfort witnessed to people out on the street. This witnessing ultimately revealed to me that I was not truly saved, so I owe each of you a big thank you for your faithfulness in preaching the gospel. I'm eternally grateful for your ministry, Ellen. And Ellen, we are grateful for you. Thank you. To share your wretched story, idea@wretched.org. And if you would like to help us make more wretched stories like this possible, become a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Joey, what's going on, dude?
Hey, what's going on, Todd? I'm here at Cal Lutheran University in Southern California. It's a Lutheran school, supposedly, but it's not really Lutheran. I'm standing here with Greg. He is a junior here. He's got a skateboard, multicolored hair, atheist, and he's thinking about becoming a tattoo artist.
Yeah,
I'm going to pass you over to Greg right now.
All right, Greg, the atheist with colored hair. Hello? Wants to be. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg, my name's Ray. You go to a Lutheran school?
Yeah.
Why is it a Lutheran school? What's that mean?
It's just basically affiliated with a Christian background, I guess.
So you were brought up in a Christian home?
Yeah.
Ah, so did you ever give your heart to Jesus as a little kid?
Yeah, I did, but I grew to learn that there's more to life than just religion.
Oh, absolutely.
Sneaky. I'd rather just learn about life rather than just one part of Christianity or one part of life.
Greg, could you tell me what happened when you gave your heart to Jesus as a little kid? What were you told and what did you have to do?
Well, when I was little, it was more of go to preschool at the Lutheran church or do certain things. But everything was just taught, and I didn't feel like anyone felt anything, or they weren't touched by God or religion or Christianity anyway. They just believed that, and I found a problem as I grew up, like high school and
yeah. But what happened when were you like a 4-year-old kid and you gave your heart to Jesus when you were 4, or were you 6 or 10 or something like that?
I mean, I can't really place a time, but I would just always question religion in general.
Do you think your experience was real, or was it just a little sort of an emotional kid experience?
I think it was just like a kid experience. There's nothing I can place on it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to say that I was touched by God in any way.
I'm sure you weren't. So, Greg, do you believe God exists?
I question that he exists. I don't believe, but I do question it.
Well, that's intelligent to question it. Greg, can you give me a reason why you question God's existence?
I do, because there's a lot of things that have been proven and haven't been proven, just like the molecule has been proven, as it's been a scientific proven fact, you know? So there's certain things that maybe I question about the Bible that may not be true or may be true. I don't know.
Oh, so it's not God's existence that you doubt, it's just whether the Bible is God's word to humanity.
Exactly, because that's what people have learned through time as the oldest book in the world, so they're going to believe it.
Yeah, I wouldn't let that worry you at the present time. It's no big deal. Yeah. Your issue's with God at the moment. So you believe in God's existence. When you stand before him after you die, do you think you'll enter heaven?
I really don't know.
Well, there's a way to find out.
I haven't experienced that.
There's an easy way to find out. All you got to do is look at the Ten Commandments. Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments?
Yes, I am.
Well, let's go through a couple of them and see how you do, okay?
All right.
Have you ever told a lie?
I have.
Okay, what does that make you? What are you called if you tell a lie?
According to the Bible, it's a sin.
No, what are you called if you tell a lie? If I told you a lie, what would you call me?
A liar.
That's it. Have you ever stolen something?
Yes, I have.
What does that make you?
A stealer, a thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain? That's the third commandment. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Yes, I have.
Well, that's called blasphemy. It's very serious in the sight of God. You know, godly Jews won't even speak God's name because it's so holy. And yet you've used his name, the one who gave you life, as a cuss word to express disgust. And the Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So one more commandment. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I have.
So listen to this, Greg. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. So if he judges you by the Ten Commandments, and we've only looked at 4 of them, there's another 6. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I think I'd be very guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell, according to the Bible?
According to the Bible, I would go to hell.
Now, does that concern you at all?
No.
Well, let me just ask you one more question. Would you sell one of your eyes for $1 million?
No, I wouldn't.
What about both for $10 million?
No, I wouldn't.
$100 million?
No.
Of course not. No one in his right mind would, because your eyes are precious to you. And yet your eyes are merely the windows of your soul. Your life looks out. I mean, Greg, the real you, looks out these windows we call eyes. And Jesus said you're to despise the value of your eye compared to the value of your soul. He put it this way. If your eye offends you or causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is better to enter heaven without an eye than to go to hell with both your eyes. In other words, of all the things you should prioritize in life, it's not the value of your eyes, it's not your health, it's the eternal salvation of your soul. And I know that you love life. You love life, don't you?
I wouldn't say that I'd love life.
You don't love life?
No, I say that every day is a struggle that I have to overcome. Every day is a battle that I have to win.
Well,
I wouldn't say that.
So if someone came and put a bullet to you, a gun to your head, and they said, I'm going to shoot you, you'd say, well, life's just a struggle. You put me out of my misery. No, you'd cry, please don't kill me. Greg, I knew a guy who was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. He had a similar philosophy as yours. His name was Greg. His name was Craig. He got testicular cancer at the age of 18. His doctor says, you've got 6 months to live. I'm sorry. His friend said, go and visit prostitutes. He wasn't interested because he found that he had a desire, something come up in him that was stronger than the sexual drive. Something in him says, oh, I don't want to die. And that was his God-given will to live. And you've got it too, and it won't kick in until you realize that you're going to lose your life. If someone came up and was going to kill you, you'd just plead, please don't kill me, because you've got an instinct to survive, a God-given will to live. And that's what should kick in at the moment, because if you die today, you'd go to hell for eternity if God gave you justice, if he did that which is right. And we've only looked at four of those commandments. We're not even talking about your secret sins. You know those things you think about that you think no one sees? God sees your thought life. He created your mind, and the Bible says, shall not he who formed the mind also see? And here, he understands everything you do in darkness as though it were pure light. And the Bible says he's going to bring everything to judgment, including your secret thing, whether it's good or evil. Man, I'm concerned for you, Greg. And
the only thing is that the Bible is a piece of literature. And
I haven't mentioned the Bible. We've just talked about God.
You're using
and the fact.
Things from the Bible,
well,
which is a fictional piece of literature. As
yeah,
I look
but they're written
it.
On your heart. You know it's wrong to steal, don't you?
Yes, because it's morally wrong.
And you know it's wrong to lie?
Because it's morally wrong.
And you know
it's
wrong to commit adultery.
The Bible told me it was wrong.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't even need the Bible to tell you it was wrong, so you're without excuse. That's a scary
situation.
So then
why do you need a piece of literature to base
your facts on?
You
don't. No, you don't.
Exactly.
You
so
don't.
Why do you believe in the Bible?
No, I don't believe in the Bible.
Why do you believe in God?
I trust in Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, Greg. Early Christians didn't have a Bible. There's no printing press. Most people couldn't read. So their salvation wasn't dependent on whether or not they believed the Bible. It's a non-issue. The fact is God
exactly.
gave you...
Exactly.
They were
based on stories.
God gave
you,
yeah, right.
Told.
So we don't even need to talk about it. God gave you a conscience. You know right from wrong. You've deliberately done wrong. By your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, an adulterer at heart. You've sinned against the God that created you. You're in big trouble. And I wouldn't be on your shoes in Judgment Day for all the tea in China. Man, you should be trembling if you've got any sense. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Listen to your will to live. Soften your heart. Push aside your prejudice. That giving your heart to Jesus as a little kid was an emotional nothing that happened to you. You didn't repent and come to Christ, understanding that you'd sinned against God and you needed a Savior. You were just a little kid who gave his heart to Jesus and nothing happened. And of course nothing happened because you didn't do what the Bible says. But if you're prepared to be honest before God and truly repent, God can forgive you, but you're not going to listen. You're not going to listen to the gospel or the good news of the Bible until you soften your heart and push aside your prejudice and say, God, I've sinned against you. I need you to help me. Hey, thanks a lot for listening to me. And if you want to talk further, Joey's a really nice guy, and he'll talk further with you. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Okay, so why you cut it off like that, Mr. Eddie's father?
Well, he was proud and self-righteous and not humble of heart. And the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And if he's not going to acknowledge the disease, he's certainly not going to appreciate and appropriate the cure. So I've got to convince the patient of the disease first. And he's not even looking at his own flesh and saying, yeah, I'm in bad shape. Can you do anything to help? If someone says, yeah, I can see the symptoms on my flesh, I have this disease called sin, well, there's good news for you. Listen, open up your heart because there's a cure. God himself provided the cure in Christ. God became a person, Jesus Christ, a perfect, sinless man who gave his life. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. He said, I give my life for humanity. I power to lay it down. I power to raise it up. He gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we could be made righteous in the sight of God. And because of his suffering death on the cross, where he paid our fine in his life's blood, we can leave the courtroom.
All right. Now, people are listening and they're saying, well, what about that kid now? He walked away and you didn't tell him the good news. That's
well,
not nice.
Joey was there. I'm not the only one that God can use, believe it or not. There's other witnesses of Christ on the face of this earth.
Yeah, but you should have given him the gospel.
I should not have. He would have said, nah, that's Jesus died for me. I've heard that since I was a little kid. I'm not interested in that junk. There's some mistakes in the Bible, and he would have resisted the truth. So if God's hand is upon him, my confidence is that God will be faithful to draw him to himself, because your methodology will be reflected by your theology. And salvation is of the Lord. God saves people, not me.
And he's going to grind up that heart and turn the stony soil into fertile soil so that it can receive the seed, the good news of the gospel. Prior to that, if you want the gospel mocked or if you want to get hurt, go ahead and give the good news. But the Bible says you should practice a great deal of wisdom before you do. This is Wretched Radio.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to Joey out of the street. Hey, Joey!
Hey, guys, what's going on? I'm out here again at Cal Lutheran, and I've got Sheila here. She's 18. She grew up Episcopalian, but she believes that people, when they die, they go to either heaven or hell, and then they get reincarnated.
Yeah, so she maybe has a little touch of Hinduism in there, or Buddhism, perhaps, huh?
Right, right.
And
definitely.
Did you ask her why she'd want to come back from heaven at all?
No, actually.
Well,
you want to ask her right now?
Well,
or do you want to ask her?
Well, maybe Ray will. He's going to take over. Joey, pass the phone. Would you be so kind?
Yep, here she is.
Hello?
Sheila, thank you for being on the radio. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Sheila, what do you believe about heaven? Joey mentioned something about you go to heaven and you come back reincarnated.
Yes.
So where do you get that philosophy from?
I don't know. I just...
You're making it up. Is that right?
I'm not making it up. Well, I like to believe that I'll still be around.
So where did you get the philosophy from? Is it sort of a Buddhism thing?
No, I just think that... I like to believe that I'll still be around forever, that my soul's around.
So yeah. What's your understanding of heaven? What sort of place do you think it is?
Somewhere in the sky where you'll be happy forever and there's no worries and, I don't know,
so
peace.
Have you had some sort of Christian background?
Yeah, my family raised me in an Episcopalian church.
Right, so what would you wouldn't consider yourself to be a Christian, would you?
I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian. Are you born again?
I guess. I don't really know a lot about religion, but I'm a Christian.
Yeah, well, I
was baptized.
I had a similar experience before I was a Christian. I used to pray every night. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. But I'd not been born again. Do you know what being born again means, what it is?
Not really. Sorry.
Okay. Well, don't be sorry. It's good that you're honest. In John chapter 3 in the Bible, Jesus spoke of being born again. He said, unless you're born again, you'll not enter heaven. And so it's very important to be born again. And the way to understand why you need to be born again is to look at the Ten Commandments for a few moments.
Okay.
Should we do that? It really helped me, and I think it will help you. It sounds like, Sheila, that there's something in you that really wants to live and wants to find out the truth about heaven and about the afterlife. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is the way to find out the truth. What we'll do is look at the Ten Commandments, and it's kind of like, you know, when you get up in the morning, one of the first things you do is look in the mirror. Do you know why you do that?
Because I want to see how messy my hair is. And
that's
then
it.
I need to take a shower.
Yeah, you want to see if you need cleaning up. I mean, if you didn't look in the mirror, you just got out of bed and went to school or work or whatever, you'd think you wouldn't know what you look like. So we look in the mirror and say, man, I better clean up. And the mirror sends you to the water to wash. And send you to the brush to brush your hair, and so you can get it cleaned up. So what the Ten Commandments are like, they're like a mirror. They reflect what we are in truth. So Before we look in the mirror of the Ten Commandments, what do you think you're like? Do you think you're morally okay? Do you think you're clean in God's eyes?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's look in the mirror now. I'll help you, and then we'll go back and ask that question again in a minute.
Okay.
Shella, have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What does that make you? What are you called if you tell a lie?
A sinner?
No, more specifically. If I told a lie, what would you call me?
I don't know.
A liar. That's it. Have you ever stolen something?
Yes.
What does that make you?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Mm-hmm.
That's called blasphemy. It's very serious when you take God's holy name and use it as a cuss word. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever got angry without cause?
I don't think so.
Okay. Have you ever hated anybody?
Not completely. I dislike some people.
Intensely?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible says if you hate someone, and I don't know if you got to the point of hatred, but it says he that hates his brother is a murderer.
Yeah, so that's I don't hate anybody.
Okay, well, we'll just go with those first four questions. So listen to this, Shella. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and that's how God sees you. So you just had a quick look in the mirror, and it's not a pretty sight, is it?
Oh, no.
So that just is a reflection of how God sees you in truth. The Bible says we look at the mirror of ourselves through sort of fogged eyes. We don't see ourselves in truth until we look at God's mirror, those Ten Commandments. So now,
but I'm more of a good person.
Yeah, but think of this. You've got to face God on Judgment Day, and God is a righteous judge. If you stand in front of a civil judge and you say, mm-hmm. Judge, I committed the crime, but I'm really basically a good person, he's going to say, that's got nothing to do with the fact you've committed this crime. You have to be judged for the crime you've committed. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's not going to wash away your crimes in the sight of a judge.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
A criminal might say, Judge, yep, I robbed that bank, but I want to tell you, I give money to charities. The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? That's got nothing to do with your crime. So when we stand before God, it doesn't matter how good we are, that won't wash away our sins in his sight. We must be punished if God is good. So here's the big question. When you stand before God on the day of judgment, if he judges you by the Ten Commandments, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I'd be innocent because I ask for forgiveness every time I do something bad.
Yeah, but listen to this. Go back to the court of law and you say, Judge, I robbed that bank, but I want to tell you I'm real sorry and I ask you to forgive me. Is he going to let you go just because you're sorry and you won't do it again?
No, he won't
let you go just because you're sorry and you won't do it again. You should be sorry, and of course you shouldn't do it again. You've done wrong.
Uh-huh.
So being sorry doesn't mean to say a civil judge will forgive you, and how much more will God not forgive you just because you're sorry? Because God must do what's right, and the judge in the court of the law must see that justice is done. He must see the criminal is punished, and God mm-hmm. is going to see that criminals are punished. So when you stand before God on the day of judgment, you will be guilty. The Bible says that. All of us will be guilty. Now here's the other big question. Would you therefore go to heaven or hell? And think before you answer.
I'm going to go to heaven.
Why? Lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. How can you get into heaven when you've sinned against God?
I'm not an adulterer. I don't cheat.
Yeah, but remember Jesus said whoever looks with lust has committed adultery in the heart. If you even look with lust, you committed adultery in God's sight. If you've lied, you're a liar. If you've stolen something, you're a thief. You've used the name of God as in blasphemy, a very serious crime. And there's a multitude of sins we haven't even looked at that God has seen. Shella, it's real important at this point of time that you're honest with yourself and that you've got a humble heart. At this point of time, you're like a patient who's talking to a doctor and the doctor has just pointed out a serious terminal disease. If the patient will acknowledge he has the disease, then the doctor can give him the cure. If he keeps saying, no, I'm okay, the symptoms aren't real. I'm really a healthy person. The doctor's going to say, well, as long as you've got that attitude, you're not going to take this cure. But when the patient says, oh, this is terrible. I can see I have this terrible disease. I'm in big trouble. I'm going to die. What should I do? Then the doctor can say, okay, you're ready for the cure. So you're in a terrible plight. If you die, this is what the Bible says. All liars love their part in the lake of fire. No thief will inherit the kingdom of God. No blasphemer, no adulterer. So you can't get into heaven. Does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell?
Yes.
Boy, it should, because something in you says, I want to live. That's your God-given will to live. Okay, well, listen to this. You may have heard this before, but it may not have made sense to you. God himself provided a way for you to be forgiven. He became a person 2,000 years ago. Jesus of Nazareth was God in human form, a perfect, sinless man. And Jesus gave his life on the cross, taking the punishment for your sins. When he was on the cross, God's anger came upon Jesus so that you could be forgiven. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and if you'll repent and trust in him, God will not only forgive your sins, he will justify you. That means he'll make you righteous in his sight so that he can grant you everlasting life. And the if you'll repent, what'll happen is you'll be born again. God will give you a new heart with new desires. There'll be a new shell will suddenly manifest, kind of like a little caterpillar crawls into a chrysalis, and in a moment of time, in a sense, he's made into a brand new creature, a butterfly. That's what God will do within you if you'll obey him. Just trust him with all your heart. Trust Jesus for your salvation. Tell God you're sorry for your sins. Say, Lord, I've looked into the mirror of the law, your commandments. I've never understood what I'm like in your sight. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. God, please forgive me. Wash me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew within me a right spirit. And God will. He's faithful, Shella. And that's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins so we could be forgiven. So what do you think of what you've heard? Does it make sense?
Yes.
So what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to be good.
That won't help you because you're already sinning against God. What you've got to do is repent and trust Jesus Christ. See, if you just clean up your life now, God's still going to see your past sins. So it won't help you. It's like a criminal saying, yep, I raped that woman and then I murdered her, but from now on, I'm going to be a really good person. Uh-uh, that's not going to help him at all. You've got a multitude of sins. It's very serious. What you must do is repent and trust the Savior. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes.
Do you disagree with what I say? And please feel free to be honest. It's if you say, no, I don't believe that, just say so. If you do...
No, I believe you, and I agree with you.
Oh, please, don't put it off any longer. Go somewhere quiet, confess your sin to God, and then trust Jesus like you trust a parachute to save you. You don't just believe in a parachute. You put it on. And Joey, who's with you, will give you some literature.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening and for being so honest with me, Shella.
You're welcome.
This is Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church.
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible.
Important dates in Christian history. 590 AD. Gregory becomes Pope Gregory I, known as the Great. He made treaties with Germanic tribes, independent of the emperor, and declared the Bishop of Rome's primacy over the whole church, increasing the political and spiritual power of the papacy significantly. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish, you went to a tattoo parlor.
Yeah, you guys are crazy. I would never get a tattoo. I can't stand needles, period.
Mm-hmm.
So doing this is out of the question.
Right. At all, yeah.
All right, now they know that we're going to have a spiritual conversation. Is that correct?
They do, and they've offered to give all of us tattoos for free, and we said, no, thank you, we'll decline.
All right, so who is the tattoo artist that we are going to speak to?
His name is Ray Lee. He's been tattooing for about 5 months. He's young in this business, and he only has a couple tattoos on him as well, but they said after he's been here for a while, he'll probably have his whole body filled up. But his name is Ray Lee. He's a younger guy.
All right.
And I'm walking in the shop right now.
All right, so she's in into the tattoo shop. Ray, you're going to talk to Ray Lee, a young gentleman who's a tattoo artist. Any special tactics?
Yes.
What are they?
I haven't figured it out yet, but they'll be there.
Need me to buy some time for you? You know the problem with that? Oh.
Hello, Ray. Ray Lee.
How you doing?
My name's Ray. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. So how long have you been tattooing?
About like a year.
What do you do if you make a mistake? I mean, you can't cross it out, can you?
No, it's not like computer graphics. Like what you do is like, I don't know, for me, like if I made like a little mistake with like a line, like I would usually just like cover it up and make a better piece out of it then.
Right. So tell me what's most important to you in life?
Just to be happy.
Just to be happy?
Just doing what you love.
And are you doing that?
Yeah, totally.
Very cool. Now, what do you think happened? I've got another question for you.
Okay.
What do you think about religion? Do you think it does any good?
I think it doesn't apply to everybody, but I say, like, to some certain people, they would need it, you know, more than others.
Need what?
Well, just for having faith and faith within themselves to complete whatever goal they have and just to be happy, you know, in order to find, like, something within themselves or something within somebody else.
So do you think you need religion?
Well, I was born into a religious family, a Christian family.
Really?
And, yeah. And then, like, well, I didn't really think I needed it because, like, I mean, I haven't really done anything yet. Like, but I kind of agreed with, like, some of the things and didn't agree with other things.
You said you didn't think you needed it because you hadn't really done anything. Could you tell me what you mean by that?
Well, like, I just felt like I just didn't, like, need the, like, you know, need to, like, go to church every Sunday, even though, like, you know, I read Bible and everything.
Do you think you need God's forgiveness?
Do I need God's forgiveness?
Yeah, do you think you've done anything to offend him?
Not so far.
Well, that's pretty good. You're doing well. How old are you?
I'm 23 now.
23 years old and you've never done anything to offend God?
I try my best not to.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's see how you do, and we'll go through a few of the Ten Commandments and
and
see if you've offended God in any way. Have you ever told a lie?
Have I ever told a lie?
Yeah.
I would say no. Like, if I did, like, get caught, like, right there and then.
So you have told a lie?
Well, like, I tried, but it didn't want to work.
So you tried to lie and you got caught?
Yeah.
So what does it make you if what does it make you if you lie? What are you called if you tell a lie?
Something that's not right.
Yeah, but you're called a liar, aren't you, if you tell a lie?
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever stolen something?
No, no.
You're not lying to me. I just caught you, didn't I? So have you ever stolen anything in your life, irrespective of its value? I'm not speaking of something that's expensive, but just something small you've taken that belongs to someone else.
I've taken from somebody else?
Yeah, be honest before God.
No, I haven't taken anything from anybody else.
Well, that's commendable. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Have I ever used God's name? No. Like, only when I watch it in movies.
So
I'm not out of myself, no.
But you've never done it yourself, even once?
No. Maybe it was when I was a kid, but...
Aha! Uh-huh. So you did it when you were a little kid? Well,
yeah, but I don't know, maybe. I said maybe.
You know what that's called? Unintentionally using God's name as a cuss word? It's called blasphemy, and it's a very serious crime. So let's just look at those commandments. The first one where you've lied, the Bible says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That means they're extremely detestable. And the Bible says God considers lying so serious, all liars live their part in the lake of fire. So you've deeply offended God with your deceit. You haven't stolen anything, but I don't know if that's true because you've admitted to me you're a liar. You've blasphemed the name of God even as a young guy. And listen to this one, Rayleigh. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Maybe like on Baywatch or something.
Aha! You have watched Baywatch? Now listen to this. Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. So you've greatly offended God. You've sinned against heaven. And listen to what the Bible says. His wrath abides upon you. And every time you sin, in thought or in deed, you're storing up God's wrath that's going to be revealed on the day of judgment. In fact, the scriptures say you're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works. And so, Rayleigh, if you die today, you have God's promise that if he gives you justice, you'll end up in hell for eternity. He will damn you, the Bible says. And that's a fearful thing to happen. Does it concern you that if you died today, you'd end up in hell forever?
I don't think that would happen. I hope not.
You've got God's promise on it. There's no greater authority than the Word of God. And he says if he gives you justice, you'll end up in hell. Because I don't know if you realize it, but you're not only sinful, but you're self-righteous. You won't honestly and humbly admit your sins. And the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So what you've got to do is soften your heart. I don't know what happened in your childhood to give you such an attitude before God. But all of us have sinned against him, and your sins are open and exposed before the eyes of the God that you have to deal with on the day of judgment. And it's a fearful thing to fall into his hands. Better to embrace forked lightning than to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to happen. So, man, you've got to think seriously about it. Does it concern you that if you died today, you'd go to hell for eternity?
I don't think that would happen.
It's going to happen. Death is sure. Look, death is the proof you've sinned against God. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die. Mm-hmm. One of the best things you can do for yourself is to walk through a graveyard and look at the dates on the tombstones. A lot of people die at 23. Their hearts give out. They get aneurysms.
A lot of people die at 23.
Yeah, have a look on gravestones.
I did not know that.
And you don't know when you're going to die, so it's important you get right with God, or you'll have eternal remorse when you look back on this day and say, I was warned that God was a God of justice, and I just laughed it off and said, I don't think God's like that. Well, he is, and to believe anything else is to make a God in your own
mind. I believe God's like the Almighty. You know, he judges who needs to judge.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. You're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. That's why he's going to judge you.
Yeah, well, he judges everybody.
And only
what he does.
Yeah, and the multitude of people will end up in hell. Most people will end up in hell. The scriptures say that. They won't listen. They won't believe. They won't trust in the Savior. So you've got to soften your heart, Rayleigh, and you've got to think seriously, because right across your forehead is a tattoo that said, I have sinned against God, and the only one that can wipe it away is the Savior. And if you're not going to soften your heart, then you're going
to
get God's wrath.
I don't know how to soften my heart any more than it is.
Well, just say this. It concerns me that I've sinned against God. That would show me you've got a softened heart. Are you concerned that you've sinned against God?
Well, I believe I've sinned, but without knowing it.
Well, you know it today, don't you? Haven't I made it clear?
Back on my journal, maybe.
Well, I'm pleading with you. Do you know what God did with you, did for you, so you wouldn't have to end up in hell? Have you any idea?
I guess I have to talk to one when I get there.
Well, you were brought up in a Christian home, so you should know that Christ died for your sins.
Yes. Well, Jesus did, right?
Yeah, he suffered and died on the cross. Now, when he was on the cross, he took the punishment for your sins that you sinned against God, that lying, that self-righteousness, that blasphemy,
everything.
That lust was all laid upon him. And then he rose from the dead. Now, that is not effective for you until you trust in the Savior, until you repent and put your faith in him. The moment you do that, God will make you righteous in his sight. He'll cleanse you of sin and grant you the gift of everlasting life. Man, this is so important. You don't know when you're going to die. The arrogant attitude of every one of us is that death is something that happens to other people. Realistically, 140,000, 150,000 people die every 24 hours, and you can guarantee each one of them was saying, man, I never thought this would happen to me. Hey, do you have a Bible, Rayleigh?
Not with me.
Well,
no.
When did you last read it?
I can't remember.
Long time. Man, give some serious thought to your eternal salvation. There's nothing more important than where you'll spend eternity. Your vocation, your marriage, nothing is as important. They're all temporal decisions. Where you spend eternity is an eternal decision. So please give some serious thought and soften your heart and cry out, God, show me my sins as you see them, and then show me my eternal destiny. If I die, I go to an everlasting hell where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. Please, God, save me. And Jesus can save you to the uttermost, those that come to God by him. Hey, thank you so much for listening, Rayleigh.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ray?
Yeah.
I think you just hit the young man with a stun gun.
Well, I hope so.
I mean, he just sounds completely like Abahiba, Hubba Hubba. And I'm glad that Trish is there. She can continue to follow up with him and talk. And sometimes it's very good to ping pong things that way. He just heard your voice a lot. Now he talks to somebody else. He can ask some honest questions and maybe get some things sorted out. And we'll give him some stuff that he can also read. Boy, a young man growing up in a Christian church without a clue. Wow, that is always tough to hear. Until next time, go serve your King.